Here we are, September 8th, 2013. We're going to conclude, at least I hope to anyway, this small two-sermon series on what's happened to the woman today, especially the Christian woman, but in general. And maybe people don't even think anything has happened, but if you look around, it's either everywhere, doing all sorts of things, and the men aren't anywhere. We see roles being reversed. We see TV programs emphasizing the success and the smartness of the woman and the dumbness of the man. And we see a world that has been feminated, except not in the rest of the world. You know, anyway, let's just jump into this thing here. We looked this morning, we went through the Eve, Adam and Eve section there. Then we jumped to the tribulation, what it's going to be like during the tribulation if you've got an unhappy marriage or an abusive man or whatever. We went to the gospel, went back to the Old Testament law to see what the law stated. Then went into the gospels to see where honorable and devout women come from, and that's from following Jesus and doing what he says, and that's what we have today. And then we go to Paul. And we see that Acts 13:50 is the two biggest enemies Paul had were the leaders of the community and then the honorable and devout women. And we see that Paul still had his women helpers. He still had his people. Women got involved. But something happened to women over the time. And if everything is going well here, let's jump into this thing. There's a lot of scriptures to look at tonight. So something happened. There's a couple different things, but there's one that I don't think we ever consider very much of. And we have to remember that God told Adam how to take care of his wife, and so the responsibility is still on the man here. But let's just save that for another sermon probably. Let's go to Romans chapter, of course, 1. The women themselves in the world have pretty much fulfilled Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Let's go right down to 21. And we can say that this has involved women as well. And this would be the lost world that's out there, the official lost, you know, the atheistic ones, the ones that don't want to have anything to do with God and don't want to have anything to do with any religion, which is fine. I'm glad they don't want to have religion. We just want them to have the truth. But this is the crowd that just kind of mocks God and kind of gets away from the whole thing. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they become fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man. Oh, just man wrote the Bible. It's no big deal. It's man can do this. Man came up with these rules. This is man's religion. This is man's da-da-da-da. And to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who was blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up into vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. So we know that this is involving women. This isn't just the men of the world. So there's this stuff. I mean, they reject God, they lose. We've got to remember now that our schools, public, private, whatever, are not teaching the truth of God. So this whole thing fits them. They think they're wise and they're not. They're fools. They're changing the glory of the uncorruptible God into one that checks, and you know, just like it's like a man king up there. And so God gives them up to this stuff. Verse 27, likewise also the men, see also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, because back to verse 18 and 17 and 19, they were given that knowledge. God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Okay, so we know that the lost world out there is reprobated in their mind, and they're not going to get it. They're not interested, and so they're going to do whatever somebody teaches them. We got this feministic movement. We got world wars that got the women into the workplace. We've got the economy going bad, so women have to work so the men can have their toys or, you know, pay for the bills, et cetera, et cetera. And we've got men that just let them work because that's what they want, and to keep peace in the home, you let them go to work, and you just tell them that that's going to be judged by this. That doesn't fit Paul's judgment, so it'll burn up. And then they get an argument, and then, so what do you do? Well, let's just keep going here. Let's see, there's probably more to it than just that. We have to remember, for the Christian woman, I'm not going to go through the series of it because I haven't really studied it out that close to see where he comes up with this conclusion, but it's a tremendously bogus conclusion that Jack Hiles, who was one of the bigger Baptist preachers over the years, America's largest Sunday school when it comes to Baptist stuff and King James and all that, sort of King James anyway, that he taught that the woman was the Holy Spirit in the family. So God will in other words, God would talk to her and teach her what she needs to do to guide the family. And the guy's going to go out there and preach the truth, kind of a thing. Horrible, horrible thing that he taught to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and thousands of Christian women, so-called Christian women. Then you get the Ruckman crowd who taught the men and women to be tough and mouthy and offensive, and that whole series came about. Then you get the street-working guys who get their wives out there with them, rather immodestly, preaching away, mouthing off to these men and these other people, which goes against Paul's teachings. I saw a video of a man one time that he was getting into a verbal fight with a man, and he finally ended up standing behind his wife to fight this guy. That is just so wrong. And the lost world sees that silliness and that ridiculousness. They see these people that are either majorly overweight on the street corner telling them what they should stop doing, and you've got these loud mouthy people that are causing offensiveness, which Paul says is not the way it's supposed to be done. It just goes against Paul's way all the time. In fact, if you look at that thing in 2 Timothy, whether they're teaching the right message on the street or not, that was just an offensive way of doing it. That was Jeremiah's day. That was Ezekiel, those guys. That was their day. That was their way of doing things. And you go to Paul, and it's just not the mode of communication we are supposed to be putting forth to people. Anyway, so we've got those things to deal with. We go to Romans chapter 2, and here's the thing I want us to consider. This is the big one, I think, that we have to remember here. Romans chapter 2, verse 14. And we're talking about the Gentiles. We're talking tonight about Gentile women. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts of the mean, while accusing or else excusing one another, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my, meaning Paul's, gospel. So we have a conscience to deal with. And one of the frustrations of a man, a Christian man, a Bible-following kind of a guy, is that it's the ladies that want the church. It's the ladies that want to follow Jesus. It's the ladies that usually have the better conscience of the bunch. I'm talking about over time here. And let's go to Romans chapter 9. I've always complained about that. You know, the ladies, they want to follow the law. They want to do it the right way. They seem to have a clean conscience about doing the right stuff. I mean, this is in their little minds, you know. And so they stick to the teachings of Jesus to the Jews. Now, if any of these ladies get a hold of Paul's teachings, they have an opportunity to put that frosting on and be that beyond virtuous woman person within the home. What I want us to see is here's the goal we're going to look at tonight. We're going to see the fact that, here's the conclusion. And you can go home early if you want, or leave early if you want. This is the conclusion that I'll show you. That a woman, over the years, following Jesus' teachings, and especially Paul's teaching, which we know was the standard teaching of Christianity for years and years and years, but then when the ecumenical movement came along and when the Great Commission came along, that all got destroyed. And Hiles did his thing, and Ruckman did his thing, and the street workers, and Mickey Carter, and all these guys got the women all fired up to do some stuff. Well, this Gentile woman has a good conscience. Well, how can you say that? Because, see, this Gentile woman, the women today, women in the past, not today, but in the past, were not out in this world. They didn't receive the searing of the conscience that Paul talks about in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Okay, so when they thrust themselves into the world, which they have done now, their conscience is now becoming more and more defiled. And as a result of that, they are following the wrong Jesus. They want to get out there and do this thing, and they're leading the ship. They're steering the steering wheel. They're running the companies. They're the ones at the boss in the grocery store, and the men are the ones working behind the cashier desks. It's absolutely everywhere. And as they get out there more and more and more, their conscience becomes seared. How many Christian women do you know that years ago they were home, they were doing their thing properly with the children or whatever, and now look at them, they're out there in the workplace doing the thing, and then look at them a little later, they really hate the Paul stuff. I mean, they truly, really hate the Paul stuff. And we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Do we read this thing? We're looking at Romans 9:1. Hang on. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. You would think that if these ladies today were so Holy Spirit-led that the Spirit of God would have led them to the Paul material, into Timothy, into Titus, and all this kind of stuff. Well, they're not so led. They're not interested. They hate the Paul stuff. And as they're out there more and more and more, their conscience gets seared more and more and more, and we have what we have going on today, a woman who will not listen to the truth, does not want to hear the truth, will get angry about the truth, and will even destroy her children in the process of fighting against Paul's teachings. They've come a long ways. 1 Corinthians 5 reminds us that Paul says, listen, you men, I mean, yeah, you've got to work in this world. You can't get out of it. It's our job. It's our fight. We're the ones that are to be the soldiers. We are the ones that are to be in the battlefield. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 9, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters. For then must ye needs go out to the world, out of the world. But now I have written unto you not so keep company, if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an adulterer, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner. I mean, that pretty much puts everybody into the basket there. And then we'll look up the man sometimes, but it's the man that's supposed to be out there, because the man can deal with this stuff. He's supposed to be able to deal with this stuff. So we know that the good man, I think it is, the strong man in the house, was taken down, which we look at, and then somebody stepped up in his place. And the woman came out of the place they were supposed to be, according to Adam and Eve, according to the law, according to the Gospels. And now Paul puts another twist on the whole thing, which we will read some verses about this. So, let's jump into this thing. The problem is the women aren't staying home. I'm not going to say that they need to be locked up and all this kind of stuff. If you've got no grandchildren around and you're older and you can't work and your husband, or you need, there's always exceptions. I'll show you a verse that Paul says here in a minute that will help explain and understand that situation. But let's just go looking through our verses now. I've given you the conclusion that the women are out there having their conscience seared, and they can't deal with it. They can't handle it. And as a result of this whole deal, they just hate the Paul stuff. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 2. But have renounced the hidden, this is Paul, we have now renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. So, Paul's teaching should really match what our conscience is telling us. But because our conscience has become seared, because the woman's conscience has become seared now, that they're not into the reality of the truth. They want to hear the truth that they think that they should be hearing. They're outside the house. The hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. That is exactly what the people they follow are doing. Chapter 5, verse 11, just over probably a page. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. So why is why is it that the woman's conscience is not allowing her to take on Paul and to trust Paul and to get comfort out of Titus and Timothy and the whole thing? They don't want to hear it. Why is that? Their conscience has been seared. Well, why can't we men get it? Our conscience has been seared. We've been out in the workplace for years. We've been out in the world. We have to do things of our job that we don't believe in having to be done. But Paul said, listen, if you want to get away from this stuff, you need to leave the world. But ladies, God's got a special blessing for you. You have a special purpose. And their conscience should pick that up as it comes from Paul, because it comes from the risen Savior. But their conscience has been seared now. 1 Timothy 1:19. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 19. Holding faith and a good conscience, which some have put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. We will see here that this whole thing from Paul, all these things we're talking about here, deal with, it's about faith. It's about faith. And as we've learned in the past, the Old Testament and in the Gospels, it's not faith the women have. They have a willingness and a willingness to be obedient to the law. That's what they want. That's what makes them feel the most comfortable. I've in my observations, the ladies I've talked with and been around and dealt with cannot handle grace. Now, 1 Timothy 4:2, just over a couple pages there, just remind us that verse, 1 Timothy 4:2, which says, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. That's what's happening. Just so you see that. And then in Titus chapter 1, verse 5, we see a nice simple little verse that says, that certainly isn't the verse I want here. Maybe it's 2 verse 5. Nope. Well, I wonder where that went. I can find it real quick like here. I think. Just a misprint on my part, which just happens a lot. Titus 1:15. There it is, 1:15. Titus 1:15. Until the pure, all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. So the women out in the workplace, the women out of the home, the women shipping their kids off to daycare to get a job, the women, now lots of times they've been made to do it. The husbands have demanded that they work. The lifestyle has demanded that they both work. The economy of our government, the world, has caused that they both have to work. A father will defile his young daughter to make her go out and get a job and work when she's a little girl. So he'll be teaching her about sports and basketball and football and all this kind of, all this kind of stuff. So the father is defiling the conscience of this little girl. And the husbands are defiling the conscience of their wives because they're making them go out and do it. Or, like I say, it's a necessity. But this is what happens. So these ladies go out into this world and they get their conscience seared. And when Paul comes along and is preaching and teaching or something, or Paul's son comes along and preaches this stuff, they just despise it greatly. Their conscience has been seared. They're not picking up on the fact that that's what's true. Neither do the men. But the men have been out there for a long time. That's our curse, is to be out there. So let's look and see some specific things that happened to the Christian lady today, or the other ladies too, as far as that matters. But it's the Christian ladies that I'm watching since I started preaching, and I started to do the Song of Solomon series way back at Touche Church there years and years ago, if you remember that, Bob. I did not realize I was going to get into this at all. So here's kind of the concept, the basic concept of what's going on. Look at Romans 16:17. Here's what the ladies, women, females, don't do today. And this is why their conscience is becoming seared more and more. Keep in fact that we have evil communication corrupting good manners. So we've got TVs, we have television programs, we have Days of Our Lives. Well, that's an old one. We have Housewives, I guess. I don't know. We've just got all sorts of TV shows that show the woman is the smart one and the man's the dumb one. That goes back to Leave It to Beaver and back in those days, Ozzie and Harriet and all that stuff. You look back and you see the process that was taking place. Now that the women have come out of their closet or shell, as they would put it, their conscience is now being defiled, so they're not able to pick up on the fact that they still want to follow the risen Jesus compared to the earthly Jesus. So they don't get it. Because they don't get it, they get mad. And why don't they get it? Because Romans 16:17, they didn't do this. They didn't mark them which caused divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which Paul has taught, which ye have learned. They didn't avoid them. In fact, women tend to be friendly towards these people because they want to have friends. They don't want to cause any trouble. They want to be sweet. Because Jesus loved everybody, so I have to love everybody. And they put on this sugary stuff. And so they don't avoid who they need to avoid. That's confrontational. That is being judgmental to them. No. Christ says, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and that's from Paul. And he says, avoid them. Well, they don't avoid them. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. Here's what really is causing this stuff to happen. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called. Well, they haven't done that. They haven't avoided profane and vain babblings. They have not avoided oppositions of science. And as a result, they've erred concerning the faith. This is what's happening to the ladies today over these years. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Let's go back. 1 Corinthians. We're going to go back and forth here. Keep our pages flipping. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 2. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. What's that got to do with it? Women go off to the workplace, they have a number of husbands to take care of. Got to get him the coffee, they need to serve him. If you're an assistant, you need to be there right up to his side, and you're doing the job. His wife is supposed to be the help, not you. So as a result, their mind gets, their conscience gets seared. After a while, they don't mind being close to another guy. After a while, if they're not careful, we get into these problems that Paul's warning about here. Why? Their conscience gets seared. Leaven does the job. Let's go to 2 Timothy again. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Now, some of you ladies that listen to this out there are going to realize that, yep, that was me. That's what happened to me. Yes, it is. And I've seen people that were young have to go get a job because the father says you got to do this to be part of this world, which is not scriptural. And I've seen them change. The conscience gets seared more and more. Leaven does the leavening. Conscience gets seared more and more. And before you know it, they're not interested in Paul. They're not. They're just not. They like what they've got. They've been seared. They enjoy the world. Just like Eve. It looked good. It tasted good. And it made her feel smart. For some reason, following Paul's manner of life, a woman feels, I don't know, dumb or unused, unimportant. That's because the Christian women out there putting that on you because you're actually pleasing God. And as I mentioned, I don't know if I started this whole thing off that way, but God did not make a mistake when he made a woman. God does not mistreat his women. Paul needs women to help in the ministry. But not in a manner that this world has women helping, or the churches have women helping, where we got women even in the church, in the pulpits. Let's keep going here. 2 Timothy 2:23. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. Well, they don't avoid that stuff. They get right into it. And as a result, strife has been gendered. Strife has starts up. And they start yapping here and talking like this. Before you know it, there's a war going on because they didn't avoid these foolish and unlearned questions from people. 2 Titus 3, right over Titus chapter 3, verse 9. Avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law. Oh, they'll stand up for Jesus' law and the Gospels big time. But they'll do it sweetly. Or they'll preach at you on the corners. No. They didn't avoid. They were supposed to avoid that. Why? It's unprofitable and it's vain. It's a waste of time. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which you received of us, which is Paul. They don't withdraw from them. They all sit around and talk about how this means that, and this means that, this can mean that, this can mean that. Well, you just believe the way you want there, you know, lady, whatever. And before you know it, they're the ones that have gone, the ones that had the Paul thing are the ones that go over to the other side. She starts dressing down a little bit more. She starts doing some things she knows she shouldn't be doing. And before you know it, her conscience is seared, and she's doing them. And she's fine and happy with it. And if somebody or a husband or a preacher comes along with Paul and says, hey, listen, this is what it says, they hate Paul. They hate the preacher. Look at 1 Timothy 6:5. Perverse disputings of men, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. Today's woman's hanging around those that say, listen, the more you have, the better you are doing. And for the Christian woman, God will bless us. So the more we do this stuff, the more God is going to bless us. And see, proof is, I'm making more money now, and we can pay for this, and we can pay for that, we can have this. And the kids are happier, and da-da-da-da, and she's happy. She got all the new pots and pans and stuff that she seldom uses because eat all the time. And the list goes on and on. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. Godliness with contentment. We need this. We need that. In some cases, we do. We need insurance. We need medical prescriptions. We do need food, blah, 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 blah. And we're being forced into this quite a bit, no doubt. But still, it destroys the wife. And what's being done today to destroy the woman, is to destroy the man. So as a man slowly falls apart, he doesn't dare say anything, or he'll be given the famous word, no, I have a headache. Or he'll lose his job. And you can put a woman in there to take his place. And I'm going to sound anti-woman. I'm not. It's just that everywhere you go, there they are. And they're happy, supposedly, and they think they're doing the right thing because they're getting gain. A lot of them aren't happy, but they're forced into that situation. That's the world we're living in. Remember, Romans 11:22, as if people reject the goodness of God, that's going to include the women, and the women are going to start raising themselves. In fact, let's go to Isaiah chapter 3. Let's take a quick little bunny trail here. Isaiah chapter 3. We know this has to happen, has to take place, so we can't be really all upset about it. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 12, for example, here, verse 12. Well, the Song of Solomon. Okay, let's get back to the right thing here. There we go. Isaiah 3, verse 12. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, which lead thee, cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. Right. Go down to verse 16. Moreover, the Lord saith, because the daughters of Zion are haughty, and walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go, and making a tinkling with their feet, therefore the Lord will smite with a scab. To see the Lord, we know in Romans chapter 2, will not do that today. He lets it happen. So he lets all this stuff go. The bonnets, the chains, the bracelets, the mufflers, the headbands, the earrings, the tablets, nose jewels, all this stuff. But see, Paul teaches Timothy to deal with that. Well, they don't want to deal with that. Let's go back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 14. Going back to where they are to, where is it at there? Verse 14, I guess it is. If any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him. Okay? But then it says that he may be ashamed. But it's the people today, it's the Christians, it's the Bible-believing, Paul-following, King James guys, it's the man that's becoming ashamed. And then it's the women that become ashamed when they're hanging around the world out there. They're ashamed of being a Paul-follower, so they jump into the world. It's supposed to be the other way around. We're not supposed to be the ones that feel ashamed. They are. So we don't want to make them feel bad, so we back off on our stuff. So then as a result, those people don't feel ashamed, and before you know it, you're on their side of the ballpark. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. Chapter 3, verse 10 here. Every man take heed of how he buildeth thereupon, according to Paul. But they won't take heed. They don't care how they build upon their foundation. My question, do they even have the right foundation? If they do have the right foundation, why do they not build the right stuff on the right foundation? They're not doing that. They're not taking, it says, every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. They're not taking heed. Let's go over a couple of pages to the right, 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Verse 9. But take heed lest any by any means this liberty of yours becomes a stumbling block to them that are weak, like maybe your children. The direction the woman has taken the house, the direction the woman has shown the children to wear and to dress, the direction that the woman has told the girls how to handle their dad and their fathers and the kids, and told the kids how to, you know, handle the girls and be wishy-washy with the whole thing. This is what she's teaching. She's abusing their liberty, and is hurting the kids. Chapter 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, just over a page. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Well, it's going to happen. Pride's going to take him down. Pride's going to take him down eventually. Galatians 5:15. Boy, here's a woman for you. Galatians 5:15. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Well, ladies are good at going after each other. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Here's something else that they have not done, or that they do that they shouldn't be doing. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 4. Neither give heed. Well, they gave heed to fables and endless genealogies. And all those things do is minister questions. Rather than godly edified, which is in faith. They love fables. They love these endless genealogies. They just love that stuff. 1 Timothy 4:1. Give heed. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of devils. This is what they're getting into, seducing spirits, music, the sweet love of a modern pastor. And on it goes. Who started the first Pentecostal movement? I forget her name. I'm thinking of Helen Gurley Brown, but she started a magazine, which is destructive for women. Amy McPherson started the Pentecost. It was all women. You watch these hot rod shows, these hot shows at night, these Pentecostal shows at night. There's more men in there, but it's still women doing the hooping and the hollering. They're following seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, no doubt. Got all these books and these tapes and these CDs and this music stuff. Oh, if they follow that stuff, it's amazing. Look at Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1, verse 14. Aptly said here, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. The women have been turned from the truth because they got out of the home where the husband was supposed to. Well, maybe that's what happened with Eve. She turned from the truth. For sure she did. Adam was right there when she did. Nothing was said about a big, massive fight. There were no lawyers there to create a divorce, so that couldn't happen. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. Well, the ladies don't want to find a Paul woman somewhere. Her hair is too long. Who, you know, boy, I tell you, there's a sign of a modern Christian woman. Tight pants, low-cut top, maybe a t-shirt or a sleeveless, whatever. But they got the long hair. That makes them the Christian woman right there. Anyway, Titus 1:14. That's flipping. I already did that. Flipping 3:17. Here we go. Well, this heat is making me sleepy again. They're not marking them which walk. They're marking them which don't walk, and they go follow them instead. They don't want the Paul thing. So 1 Timothy chapter 5. We can wrap this up pretty soon before I totally fall asleep here. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 13. Amazing. And withal they learned to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will, therefore, that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give them none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. For some are already turned aside after Satan. This is what happens when they get out into the workplace. Either they can't handle it, so they pull off and go back where they're more comfortable in the home, or if they can't handle it, they'll change that job situation so it's more feminated so the woman can handle it. That's amazing, isn't it? 1 Timothy chapter 5, look at verse 3. Well, here's a whole series of stuff on widows. Yeah. But we're not in a position to do anything about it. Shame on us. It's just really a shame on us. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy 2:9-10. In the like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection. That's a little tough right there. Not if you know what it is you can learn from the risen Savior. Titus chapter 2. Just about done here. Titus chapter 2. Verse 3. The aged women likewise, that they be in behaviors become with holiness, not false accusers, not given too much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, and that the word of God be not blasphemed. They don't want to do that. They're not interested in this stuff. And there's more. So what we have happened here over these years, women have gotten tired of all this stuff. They've left the house. They've left being the help, meet for the man. And they're following the god of this world. And as a result, their conscience is getting seared. And the more it goes, the more it happens. Oh, this is where we're at. So I hope that explains the answer.